Yes, I suppose it's unusual to begin a book on Ignatian spirituality and not start with Ignatius. I chose not to do that because I wanted to look at the noun spirituality before the adjective. If we don't know what the noun means, well then, what's the use of any adjective? It isn't very enlightening. So I explore what spirituality means, different aspects of it, different understandings of it. I suppose the main distinction that I make there is that for many people, spirituality, the word, comes from the human spirit, that each of us has a spirit, soul, something interior within us that is alive and productive and that has desires and yearnings, but also an interiority that would include struggles and tensions and that. So spirituality, from that point of view, which is the point of view of the human person, technically it's an anthropological approach. Spirituality means anything to do with the spirit within each of us. How that is to be nourished, how that develops, how that can be integrated into the whole of our lives, all of that scenario. The other meaning of spirituality, which is a more specifically Christian meaning, is that the word spirituality comes from the Holy Spirit, and that's for Christians, the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us, and spirituality is anything to do with the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, it seems to me that that second definition or way of understanding spirituality is the more Christian, but the anthropological, the attention paid to the human spirit has its role to play nevertheless. So it's not totally an either-or choice that we make between one model of spirituality and the other. But we accept that the Holy Spirit is active in us through inner mechanisms that are purely human. They're part of the inner dynamic that is our human spirit. So that chapter is meant really to get people thinking, even at the beginning, you know, at a fairly deep level as to what we mean by the word, so that when we come on then to look at Ignatius and the spirituality that evolved out of his life and his teaching, that we are, if you like, on more solid ground.
In a certain sense, what you've described there as the two aspects of spirituality, the Holy Spirit that Christians believe in, and then the spirit within us that lots of people can espouse, does in some way sum up, would I be right, Ignatius' own view. That's what he, in his exploration of himself, found.
Yes, I think so. He wouldn't have had the same questions that we have about the meaning of spirituality. It would have been obvious to him that spirituality is to do with God, and in a particular way with the working of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that in his own spiritual diary, which comes from the later period of his life, there is an increasing attention given to the Holy Spirit, which wasn't there as explicitly, at least in the earlier writings, including the spiritual exercises. But in the spiritual diary, where he records these experiences in Rome when he was superior general, that the Holy Spirit somehow forces his or her way into his consciousness more than previously. It's actually quite Trinitarian, because he's also praying to the Trinity itself, almost as one, and he prays to each of the persons separately. But it's the stress on the Spirit that is new, if you like, in the way in which he puts it into his description of his inner life and of his prayer.
That's interesting. And does that tie in then, and I know you deal with this in the book, with the whole area of discernment, both individual discernment and then the communal discernment, which you speak about in the book?
Yes, discernment is certainly central to what we call Ignatian spirituality. The chapter that I devote to it in the book takes perhaps an unexpected approach, in the sense that I don't spend a lot of time until the end of the chapter talking about Ignatius's contribution. In some ways, I take that for granted. But I look at the whole tradition. I ask the question, what did Ignatius inherit? And so I go back to the scriptures, how discernment occurs in the Old Testament stories, how it occurs in the New Testament, and particularly in the teachings of St. Paul. And then I just say, well, Ignatius wasn't coming in at discernment as the one who discovered it, or he was building on something which was very strong, not only in the scriptures, but in the experience of the desert fathers and mothers, which is where most people tend to go nowadays, you know, to get to the roots of discernment. And Ignatius, I believe, added to that in two ways. First, because he was an excellent teacher and he was able to simplify the rather complex teaching on discernment in the tradition and to make it usable to people. That would be one contribution. The other contribution is that I think he saw more than anybody before him how discernment was linked or could be linked with decision-making. That, I suppose, is what people have latched onto a lot in recent years. But he contributed a lot to that, because discernment, as it's seen in earlier writings, could be described as simply discernment of spirits. You distinguish between the various spirits, the various influences that are at play on you or within you, but it might stop there. You end up with, yes, greater self-knowledge, certainly, and that helps in all sorts of ways on your spiritual journey. But he saw more explicitly that if you're facing a serious decision in your life, you can use the discernment of spirits, but allow it to continue into something else. Something, I don't like the word practical, but that's, you know, something more experiential, and in the sense of facing major crossroads in our lives and doing so with a certain confidence because we have learned how to discern.
That's a very important gift that he gives. Where do you find that expressed? Is that something that comes through the exercises?
Well, the exercises are the first place, I think, to go. I mean, the exercises are most appropriate for people who are facing a major decision. If a person is thinking of making the exercises and comes to me, or probably to most people working in this area, and asking, you know, well, would it be suitable for me? If the person is facing a major decision, I have no hesitation. Yes, you are almost ideal in a sense that the exercises are geared to this, even though they can fulfill all sorts of other functions as well. I would also think, if I might anticipate to the chapter on the corporate dimension of Ignatian spirituality, that kind of decision making through discernment is very clear in the discernment of the first fathers, which is the document which records the discernment that the early companions were making on whether or not to become a religious order. And that document is called the Deliberation, usually. It spells out in great detail the different stages through which the group went, the difficulties they faced, the fact that they had to change methodology halfway through because the methodology they started with answered their easy questions, if you like, but faltered when it came to the more difficult questions. And all of that is recorded, and it's a very clear example of discernment corporately, but discernment anyway, you know.
But as a group,
on a major issue.
Yeah, as a group, yeah. On a major issue, yeah. They were trying to decide whether or not they should become a religious order, which, yes, very often when we read about the histories of orders, we think there was a founder, they gathered a group of people around him, they said, right, you be my followers, this is the order, and away we go. You're saying it wasn't like that at all?
No, that document actually records some of the reasons against becoming a religious order. I mean, they were very honest, but the state of religious life was not flourishing at the time. In a way, it was held in rather low esteem within the church. There were all sorts of reasons against becoming a religious order. So they had to face those, first of all, in their own personal prayer. Then they faced it in the discussions or the sharing that they had. And we are very fortunate to have a description of that, because otherwise we'd have to guess. And I also find it interesting that they don't name anybody in that. So you never know when Ignatius's ideas are coming up or when the ideas are coming from some of the others. It's a very good example in that sense, too, of how corporate discernment should work. You know, not dominated by one strong personality or some ideas person, if you like, but that ultimately everybody listens with equal respect to everybody else, and the decision comes out of that in a prayerful atmosphere.